The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Mark Amtower of Amtower and Company, which is entirely responsible for its content.
This is Amtower Off Center, sponsored by General Dynamics Information Technology. Every week, author, speaker, consultant Mark Amtower gives you his take on what's going on in the world of government contracting. Amtower Off Center with your host, Mark Amtower.
Welcome to Amtower Off Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. Two guests today. We're going to be talking OASIS. If you have not heard, it is one moose of a contract. I have the PM, Todd Richards, and a contractor, Emma Sopko, CEO, Goddess in Progress at Potomac Wave. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thanks for coming in. It's a little warm today. I hope you know.
Happy to be here. Thanks for the invitation.
There you go. Emma, start off. Tell us a little bit about you and your company, please.
Thank you, Mark. So I founded my company in 2007, Potomac Wave Consulting. We're a woman-owned small business in the federal marketplace. Our first contracts actually were in commercial, and then we kind of pivoted in 2008 and got very vested in federal contracts. Over the last 8 years, we've actually grown to be about just under $50 million in revenue and 175 employees. And we do a lot of work in critical infrastructure program management.
Okay. Define that.
So really, that's any infrastructure that is critical to the federal government. So whether it's maritime or cybersecurity or cyberny. So various modalities and various domains, but really anything that's critical to protecting our country.
Prior to starting the company, what did you do to prepare yourself for this?
So I had spent half of my career in federal consulting and half in commercial consulting. And I think that was very helpful to me because I'd kind of seen it from both sides, the things that private sector bring and also things that the public sector can offer. So it has been, I think, a good background for being in business for myself.
Okay, great. Todd, you're the PM of the new moose on the block.
Thank you, Mark. My name is Todd Richards. I'm the OASIS program manager. Despite having program manager in my title, my actual career path has been all in contracting. I'm former Air Force, did a stint as a nuclear missile launch officer, picked up my MBA, and then got into contracting. And for the last 23 years of my life, that's what I've been doing. Been on the OASIS project now, I think, a little over 6 to 7 years. Myself, along with the OASIS small business contracting officer named Valerie Bendel, actually wrote the current business case for what was formerly known as Integrations, now known as OASIS. It's our baby. We've created it. And here's where we are today.
And it looks like you're having fun.
Always having fun.
There you go.
Life is short. Might as well have fun doing it.
So right now, Max, GWACs, IDIQs seem to be the flavor of the day, becoming more popular. Lots of business flowing through these things, lots of business going to OASIS. Is there a need for contractors to have access to one of these types of vehicles?
I think it's critical, and I think it's important for contractors to really assess what their capabilities are, what their service offerings are, and the customers that they want to provide those services to, and to carefully assess the contract vehicles that those customers use, because really it can be a big hurdle when you're trying to support different areas within the federal government and you haven't fully assessed what those contract vehicles are. So I think, utilizing MACs and GWACs is really critical as a contractor to being able to, have a broad array of agencies that you can provide support services to.
And I would just piggyback that by saying I think it's absolutely true that the federal government is turning to these more expedient contract vehicle solutions. We've seen a tremendous reduction in the number of contracting resources the government has to deal with, and these MACs, GWACs, IDIQs, including the GSA Schedules program, allow agencies to take advantage and take care of their acquisition requirements faster, quicker, and easier. And that resonates in government when we don't have the contracting workforce we used to have.
And the contractors like that faster, easier thing too, as long as they're part of the equation.
Absolutely. As long as they're part of the equation, they're usually very happy with it.
Okay. Before we go any further, Todd, will you explain the full scope of Oasis, because there's no products on this vehicle, right?
That's correct. It is a services vehicle. It's intended for professional services. We specifically designed Oasis to be able to handle complex, more integrated requirements. It has an intentionally broad scope, covers program management services, management consulting services, engineering services, scientific services, financial services, as well as professional logistics requirements as well.
Okay. Large and small?
Large and small. We developed two solicitations. One is 100% small business set aside with partial set asides for every socioeconomic category known to man. The other is one is based on full and open competition. So whichever way contracting officers will conduct their market research, do their due diligence, make a determination as to whether their specific requirements should be set aside for small business or not, and then pick the appropriate contract vehicle to satisfy those needs.
Okay. Now, I remember reading a while ago that Oasis developed a rather unique way for contractors to be selected. Is that accurate?
That is 100% accurate, Mark. In fact, we've kind of rewritten the rules for IDIQ contracting, so to speak. We came up with a new process. GSA has a long history of doing IDIQ contracts. I was part of the original Alliant team when they first rolled out. We got to see, and the actual contracting officer that was involved in awarding Oasis was part of the Alliant award team as well, Mr. Tommy Thomas. So we had a lot of experience with IDIQ contracts and the evaluation process, and we basically went to the whiteboard and redid it. Thought we built a better mousetrap, developed a very objective point-based system that evaluated what people had done in terms of relevant experience, how well they had done it in terms of past performance, and any kind of systems and certifications that are important to the government. It was a unique thing. A lot of people said we were crazy when it came out. We actually have had a tremendous amount of feedback about how much appreciated the process was. There are no fancy proposal writers. There was no fluffy technical plans and management staffing plans and all the rest.
Hey, we like those fluffy. I'm just kidding. We actually don't.
No, but we got a lot of that feedback, even from people who weren't successful in getting an Oasis contract, that the transparency of the process was very straightforward. You know, everybody knew exactly where they stood in the entire process. People rated themselves. Our evaluation process basically went in and validated what they claimed. And we identified that we were going to take the top 40 vendors in each pool, and that's what we ended up doing. And very transparent, very fair process. Got a lot of tremendous feedback on that. And if imitation is the greatest form of flattery, and we're being flattered a lot because there are a lot of other IDIQ contracts that are walking in our footsteps. We get contacted a lot about, hey, how does this process work? What's the secret sauce for Oasis?
Because I've talked to a couple of PMs that have indicated they were looking very closely.
Yes. We've seen several come out with the same or a similar type approach. Of course, a lot of devil is in the details and the execution, but I think we've really gone a long way as reformatting how IDIQ contracts get awarded.
Okay. Emma, how did you, this will be a two-parter, so talk as long as you want on this. Why did you select Oasis? And when you saw the vetting process, what was your team's reaction? What was your reaction?
Well, one of the things I really liked about Oasis was that as a small business, we got to stand on our own merit. There were no teams involved. And I really thought that was a very unique approach, very insightful, very ingenious, actually, in terms of ensuring that a small business really had the chops to do the work. And I think a lot of times, you know, we'll see solicitations or procurements where it's the experience of the team. And I don't think that's a bad thing either. That can be a very good solution for the government. But I thought that it was interesting that Oasis was focused on just the contractor that was applying, you know, that was submitting a proposal. So that was interesting. It was on our radar. I think it was very well publicized for a number of years. I think there was a big lead up to this thing called Oasis. And I think before it might have even had another name. Todd, is that true?
That is correct. It was formerly known as Integrations.
Okay.
As it went through the wickets of becoming an actual contract.
So there was a lot of anticipation in the vendor community. And when they say when one door closes, another opens, and I think that it's very true in this business that I think to be a successful small business in any really any business, you've got to be able to adapt and evolve. And so I think it's critical that you kind of look out ahead and you play the long game and you realize that these Macs are very, very important to being able to market to customers. And so for us, it was something that had been on our radar for a long time. And we recognized, you know, when you don't have a Mac or, you know, an agency IDIQ, you either have to team with companies that do, which can be very viable. Or if you don't want to focus on being a subcontractor or a partner, then you need to target markets where you have access as a prime contractor. So I think those are two critical decisions as a small business or really any business that you're making when you're looking to market services to the federal government.
Okay, we're going to take our first break. You're listening to AmTower Off Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. We shall return after this. Welcome back to AmTower Off Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I am Mark AmTower. Nobody else volunteers. I'm here with Todd Richards of Oasis and Emma Sopko, the CEO of Potomac Wave. So when you got on this thing, Emma, this IDIQ, you had certain expectations as to your now potential reach into the market. How do you feel about it?
Well, Mark, initially, we knew that Oasis would be heavily leveraged by the Air Force, which is not traditionally an area that we have provided a lot of support services. So, you know, we felt that certainly Air Force was going to be a heavy user. I think they may have, Todd, did they sign an MOU?
They were the very first ones on board, yes.
Okay, they were early adopters.
Early adopters, even prior to awards.
Okay, and that's what I had thought. So we knew Air Force. So I think we knew Air Force was going to be using Oasis, and we felt that it would probably be leveraged through the DoD community. What we didn't anticipate was that it was going to be used in a broader capacity, which was very exciting as a vendor on Oasis to have access, you know, to other areas across government. And I think where we've seen a lot of growth at the Department of Homeland Security, also several civilian agencies such as Department of Treasury have been utilizing Oasis. So I would say overall, and I believe that there is in talks with DHA, is that correct, Todd?
That's correct.
So I think that we'll continue to see the usage increase. And I think that's really a testament to the fact that the vehicle is very easy to use and that I think agencies have experienced a lot of success with the vendors that are on Oasis. It was very tough competition to receive an Oasis award. And I think that it was probably some of the best small businesses and large businesses in federal contracting. So
certainly the best bid teams.
Well, again, the objective criteria took a lot of that hocus-pocus bid stuff away. It was actually a very objective black-and-white criteria, and Emma's right on the money. We went for a best-of-the-best kind of evaluation approach, and we feel, and our customer feedback indicates, that's exactly what we got.
Okay. So you had expectations when you launched this thing too, Todd. So, and having the Air Force sign prior to award may have set a high bar.
Well, like I said, we had previously been involved with GSA's Alliant program, Millennium Light program. So we had years of experience going into this that this kind of contract for professional services was really necessary. We found in those programs, and GWACs are specifically for IT services, that there were a lot of requirements that came in that wanted to use the flexibilities of those contracts, but they weren't actually IT requirements. And at the time, we didn't really have another good, flexible vehicle for non-commercial work to put those requirements on. We had an internal feeling that this contract was really, really necessary. So when it got air under its wings and started to take off, I think the flexibilities and the control that we allow contracting officers to have that are using our contract, I think that resonates with a lot of people. I think it is a solution set that was really necessary across government. And so we had internal hopes on how the utilization would go, but having no contract before it and nobody really understanding what Oasis was when we first started, you have to temper those expectations a little bit. So I'm very proud of the track record we've had so far. We're right at 400 task order awards right now, and approximately 2 years, actually, real time, solicitations on the street, probably close to a year and a half. Almost 300 of those have gone to small business. So we're extremely proud of our overall track record thus far and our small business utilization.
Well, I know one of the task orders that didn't go to a small business, the one that made major ripples across the market, I believe it was Boeing.
I think that's Booz.
Booz. I knew it began with B. Is there a difference? So what was it, something like 950?
We love all our contractors, so not partially any one over another. We love them all.
Well, apparently neither am I, because I can't remember the names. but I'll get to that in a few minutes. So Emma mentioned the MOU that you got from Air Force prior to even award. I keep reading about MOUs coming your way. Do you have a team that goes out and solicits? Do they come to you? Is it a mix?
Knocking down your doors, right?
Waiting in parking lots.
Yes, we have an enormous staff that do nothing but go after MOUs. No, I'm just
break
kidding.
Lakes.
Yeah, I'm just kidding. No, there is no concentrated marketing to get MOUs. We currently have MOUs with the U.S. Air Force, the U.S. Army, Department of Homeland Security. The Department of Defense is for the state organizations, which are those organizations that don't fall directly within Army, Navy, Air Force. We also have an agreement with Naval Air Systems Command, or NAVAIR. Always in discussions trying to save the government money is really what the MOUs are all about. Where OASIS, look, the federal marketplace for professional services, depending on whose numbers you look at, is anywhere between $63 to $70 billion a year. For these agencies that spend a lot of money on professional services, OASIS can be a very valuable tool in their toolbox to use. If they know they plan to spend X number, like $8 billion a year on professional services, does it make sense for them to contract or sign an agreement with OASIS to save some contract access fee? Certainly it does. So OASIS is never intended to, you know, be the end-all, be-all solution for everything professional services, but it does come in handy when they have more complicated requirements. So we think we're going to be a good contract solution for many requirements, but we're not trying to be the contract solution for every requirement.
One size does not fit
all. One size does not fit all. And actually, to support this, because we see, you know, we hear different things about, oh, OASIS is going to harm the industrial base. The GSA, we designed OASIS to be a complement to the GSA Schedules program. Schedules are non-competitive form of contracting. Every small business, every company in America can get a GSA Schedule contract or a professional services schedule. We're seeing about 20% of the federal spending in the professional service marketplace go through the GSA Schedules program. Ironically, since OASIS has been introduced a couple years ago, we've seen spending on GSA Schedules on the professional service schedule rise. So it's not been hurting the industrial base. We have over 130 of our prime contractors who are doing quite well. And that's, you know, not even mentioning the thousands of small businesses that have been involved in the OASIS umbrella through various subcontracting and teaming agreements. We are exceptionally proud of our small business record, and we think the contracts themselves have been very healthy for government.
Speaking of the small business side of things, are you happy that you're on there? Are you winning task orders? And were they with agencies that you were previously targeting?
Actually, OASIS has allowed us to bid on contracts outside of agencies that we necessarily originally had been targeting. we were able to successfully bid and win a contract at the Army as a prime contractor. Previously, we had been subcontracting at the Army. And then really at DHS, which we have over 20 active prime contracts at DHS and have supported DHS for the last 8 years, we were very pleased that DHS went in the direction of OASIS. So we could continue to bid on work at DHS. So we have been able to expand into other agencies. Department of Energy has just recently started using OASIS for some of their procurements. And as I mentioned before, a number of civilian agencies are now starting to use OASIS. In addition to the agencies that have signed MOUs, formally MOUs to support OASIS. Really, Todd, I think if an agency has received the training, they can begin using OASIS. Is that correct?
That's correct. Anybody, OASIS is a government-wide contract, open to all federal agencies. The only thing that's required for them to use OASIS is to take it for their warranted contracting officers to take a 90-minute delegation of procurement authority training course. We've trained over 5,600 people since we've started this. We've issued approximately 1,400 or so delegations. So I think we have 33 different agencies that have contracting officers with delegations at this point.
Okay. Now, one of the attractive features for, especially, I guess, for the MOU side of things, you have a floating fee structure that I haven't seen before.
Yes. When we designed OASIS, again, OASIS is designed to eliminate agencies' need to establish their own IDIQ contracts. A hidden factor in federal procurement over the last 10 to 15 years has been the explosion of IDIQ contracting. What a lot of people don't realize is how expensive this is for the federal government. It takes years to establish these IDIQ contracts, the cost of tens of millions of dollars in resources. By the time you add all the staffing, all the reviews, all the congressional, all the SBA interaction, all these things, protest time, all these things factored in, you're literally, the government is spending tens of millions of dollars in resources for each and every IDIQ issued. On top of that, you have some real taxpayer dollar ramifications. The government pays for bid and proposal costs, whether contractors win or lose. And it comes through various indirect rates. If it's not today, it's going to be tomorrow. Every dime that gets spent by a government contractor ends up being reimbursed by the government. The cost of doing hundreds, if not thousands, of different IDIQ contracts, all for similar services, all for the similar type contracts, over and over and over again, the government has been spending literally billions of dollars in the terms of simple bid and proposal costs, as well as increased administrative burden, administrative costs to manage these things. We had one contractor during our market research stage showed us they had over 200 IDIQ contracts, all different IDIQ contracts for professional services. And at some point, you got to ask yourself, well, does this make sense anymore? So we developed OASIS to, help alleviate the burden of having a separate IDIQ contract for professional services. And this really resonated with a lot of our clients. And what they're discovering, in some applications, yes, you're going to need a specialized IDIQ contract for specific types of needs. But OASIS is the very first government-wide contract for professional services that allows for cost reimbursement contracting at the task order level. And in accordance with market research, that represents about 50 to 60% of that $63 billion a year. So prior to OASIS, agencies had no option than to set up their own IDIQ contracts. What OASIS has brought to the table is giving them a choice. Do we spend the tens of millions of dollars and years of effort, or can we use this contract for most of our requirements? And in many cases, we've seen that they are saving the taxpayer money and making some wise decisions in using OASIS instead of doing the process over again.
Okay. We're going to pick this up on the other side of the commercial. You're listening to AmTower Off Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. We shall return. Welcome back to AmTower Off Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm Mark AmTower. I'm here with, this is an extraordinary conversation, with Emma Sopko, CEO of Potomac Wave. They are an OASIS contractor, and Todd Richards, the PM of OASIS, both first-timers on my show. Thank you again for coming in. Let's pick up that money flowing through your vehicle theme. You review each task order that comes through.
That's correct. When ordering contracting officers issue their solicitation, there are different pools on OASIS that are based on NAICS codes and small business size standards. Based on which one is applicable to their specific requirement, they will issue to everybody in that pool. And the OASIS program office has the administrative burden of reviewing that to ensure that's within scope and being properly issued, and everybody within that pool has a fair opportunity to compete for each of those task orders. Now, on OASIS small business, there are you can do socioeconomic set-asides, and direct awards were authorized by law, but that's standard for small business contracting.
Okay. And part of that whole deal is if you're not on the contract directly, you may approach indirectly.
Neither contract have a true any kind of limitations on teammates, subcontractors, these things. OASIS Small Business has, of course, the limitation on subcontracting. Being a small business set aside, the prime has to do 50% of the work at the contract level. Mm-hmm. But for individual requirements, we really try to allow as much flexibility as possible for people to include local small businesses, local, historic incumbents, be, in essence, be able to bring the best possible team to each task order solicitation, because every task order, we feel, is definitely unique. And what might be a great team for one project might not be the best team for another project. And all of our primes are consistently looking for quality teammates, quality subcontractors to deal with to bring the best solution to the table. And I think Emma can support that statement.
Absolutely, Todd. And as I mentioned earlier, one of the things that we thought was great about the Oasis procurement was that it didn't have set teaming arrangements that you had to adhere to, you know, for the life of the vehicle, which has allowed us a lot of flexibility to partner with a lot of new businesses that were exceptional in different areas of their expertise or in their market offerings, and we've been able to work with them on a task order by task order basis. Whereas in contrast to some other IDIQs and BPAs that we hold, our teaming is set. So I can only work with, a certain subset of federal contractors, which is quite limiting in this market. Many companies evolve and new capabilities emerge, and we want to be able to offer those to our clients. So I think it's been very successful the way that it's been open-ended in terms of, enabling contractors to put together the best team in response to a solicitation. So that's been great.
For your contract, how many of the categories have you been approved for?
So we're a small business, and we're also a woman-owned small business.
Right.
And initially, Oasis also had an EDWSB track, and we had that as well. But that has since been kind of subsumed into the WSB category. Is that right, Todd?
Yeah, there was SBA controls what NAICS codes are eligible for women-owned and economically disadvantaged women-owned small businesses. When we originally solicited Oasis, several of the NAICS codes were identified for economically disadvantaged women-owned small business. They made a change, I think, about a year into the process, and so we had to update the contracts to reflect that.
Probably misphrased my question. Which of the disciplines do you operate in?
So we're in pool one, okay. Which I think has, if you look across the pools, I think it's been a pool that has been highly active across all of the pools that Todd mentioned. And it's actually a very broad pool of services spanning the 541611 NAICS code, which is the general management consulting, to the 541330, which is engineering services. Also within pool one are advertising and environmental services. So a lot of your major program requirements that are multidiscipline and very complex programmatic requirements are part of that pool one.
Okay, cool. So how often are you getting calls from companies and say, when's that on-ramp coming, bud?
Well, Mark, I tell you this, if I had a dollar for every time I was asked that, I'd be retired right now.
There you go.
No, quite a bit of interest in Oasis. What we have done, and we had an open solicitation period to the entire world. It was open for quite a while. As Emma alluded to earlier, we had a massive communication platform strategy. We answered over 5,000 questions during the pre-solicitation stage of Oasis, several hundred one-on-one meetings with industry, broadcasting through industry groups like the Coalition for Government Procurement, ACT IAG, a bunch of, and Professional Service Council, a lot of awareness about the original Oasis contracts. So we had an open solicitation period. Received the proposals, solicitation closed. We have a set group of contractors, but that's not the end of the story. We do have the ability to do what we call on-ramps. That's to bring additional contractors to the contract. We are quickly approaching our very first one. It'll be in Oasis Small Business Pool 2. We plan on adding 31 contractors to that pool. Beyond that, we can conduct on-ramps as we need to. One of the main things we focus on, or the two main things we focus on, competition levels. We want to make sure we're getting healthy competition levels, which we define on average getting anywhere between 3 to 5 proposals per solicitation, and we are right on track with that right now. The other thing we pay very close attention to is feedback from our clients. We request feedback on each and every task order that we get. We talk at very strategic levels with all of our client base, but especially those we have MOUs with. to make sure that our contractor base is meeting their requirements and we have the flexibility to add more as we need to. As if Oasis, you know, continues on its current path and we see the number of task orders rise and the demand go up, we'll probably add more contractors to satisfy that.
You have a target date for the on-ramp for small?
The Oasis Pool 2 on-ramp should be, you should see a pre-solicitation notice, I would say, safely within the next 6 weeks.
Oh, that's it.
On the street, yes.
Very cool. You heard it here first.
You heard it here first. Also, you know, the guaranteed, one of the guaranteed on-ramp periods will be in 2019. Mm-hmm. That's when the small business we currently have will be required to recertify. We fully anticipate we're probably going to lose quite a few.
Well, like 8A stars, you know, some graduate.
Exactly,
right?
Some graduate. So we're going to, there'll be a massive on-ramp on the small business side then as well. And Oasis, I just want to throw this out there. Oasis is very unique in many regards, but this is the only contract in the federal government where contractors can go right now to our website. There's a link on the website named How to Get on Oasis.
Yep, I saw it.
There's a lot of information there about what we recommend you do. Step one, find a prime and team up with them, become a subcontractor, get involved with the Oasis process.
Get familiar with the vehicle.
Get familiar with the vehicle, how it works, all its inner workings. The other thing that we encourage them to do, we have our solicitation posted on that website right now, the original solicitation. Contractors, potential future Oasis on-rampers can go right now, today, download that solicitation and start the proposal process, score themselves right now to see where they stand competitively. On that website, we also identify the number 40 scores. We took the top 40 in each pool. We identify the number 40 scores for each vendor. So they can go assess where they are right now versus what our original competition looked like and take steps starting today to boost their score. There's a number of things that you have within your control, like your CFAR scores, your past performance evaluations, the type of work you go after, system certifications that you can go after now that will affect your ability to on-ramp to Oasis and Oasis Small Business in the future. So it's the only only contract in the federal government that can say that. And we think that's a tremendous advantage to all small businesses, especially that aren't currently on Oasis. You have the ability to go and analyze that and put a strategic plan in place to try to get yourself to a score level where you think you'd probably be competitive.
Yeah. So I'm going to be doing a couple of speeches over the next few weeks on end of FY spending. And one of the things I'll be mentioning is making sure your certs are up to date. How tight are Potomac Waves certs at present? Do you monitor those personally? Do you have staffers that do that?
We do. Yes, that's a big part of being a small business. And in federal contracting is compliance-related activities. Mm-hmm. So,
okay, so are you caring? But when I'm talking certs, I'm not necessarily talking you probably are level 3 certified from NCMA. But I'm talking like Cisco certs.
Corporate certs,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, all
right,
of those.
Right, and after you obtain them, you have to maintain them. So
right.
You're constantly, like, so I'll give you an example. I mean, we're ISO certified, corporate ISO certified. So it's not something that you just get the cert and then you're done. It's, it's a whole way of approaching your business end to end. And you are audited on those types of things. So yes, we actually had the privilege in Q4 of going through an ISO audit, which of course we passed. But, I think certifications are very important as it fits into the type of business that you are. There are some certifications that are more IT-centric versus some that are more, relevant to just engineering and science and technology type certifications. So I think it's, assess your business and determine which certifications make sense and which might not be the best use of your, your funds.
And if you're approaching Oasis, these are enumerated on the How Do You Play With Us page?
Absolutely. Very clear, very black and white objective evaluation criteria. Again, on those solicitation documents, there's a scoring spreadsheet that clearly identifies each one.
Okay. We're going to take our last break. You're listening to AmTower Off Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. We shall return after these messages. Welcome back to AmTower Off Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm here today with Emma Sopko, CEO, Goddess in Progress at Potomac Wave, PotomacWave.com.
That's right.
There you
PotomacWave.com.
go. And we're doing our bow here, our Bill and Ted bow. We're not worthy. No, that's not Bill and Ted. That's the other guys. And Todd Richards, the program manager for Oasis. So, you know, it's funny. I'm prepping for this, and all of a sudden, WashTec announces this company's getting picked up by another company, both based in McLean. So maybe they know each other. I don't know. But it seems like one company wants to expand its footprint in the federal market. Gee, what a surprise. And what was surprised, it wasn't an investment bank. Not that I have a preference, but one of the contracts the company has that's being acquired is Oasis. So what's your, Todd, your direct involvement in the transfer, if you will, of that potential business to a new owner? And because the company being bought was small, you know, do you have a crystal ball? Are you looking at the financials? What's going on here?
We've established a lot of criteria about the novation process, especially on the small business side. When companies are purchased, it requires a recertification. When they recertify, they're no longer a small business. They get shut down. That contract is now null and void. You can't really buy a contract. You have to buy the assets of a company performing a contract, and then you can request the government do a novation to allow that new company to continue performance on that contract. What we have done is, as part of the in addition to the normal novation paperwork that has to be submitted along with the recertification and everything else, we also, if it's a new company that's not currently an Oasis Prime, we require them to submit an Oasis proposal. We wanted to strictly defend the quality of the Oasis Primes and the integrity of the process. So when even when a company buys a current Oasis Prime contractor, they have to submit a new proposal that clearly identifies that they meet the point requirements to be an Oasis Prime. So they have to meet at least the number 40 threshold in the proposal that we scrub and evaluate and validate. And that's part of the process that we put in place to make sure that anybody who does end up being an Oasis Prime contractor is qualified to do so.
That would help.
That's usually a good thing.
Yeah. So when you see things like this, Emma, do you wonder when your phone's going to ring or what?
Well, I think, you know, to Todd's point, you know, there's a lot of companies that want to be part of Oasis.
And can't imagine why.
You know, it's being used. and I think that it's exceeded expectations. Is that fair? I think both from a performance standpoint, a usability standpoint, and I think really it was very much needed need in the market. And I think that it's, you know, met and exceeded expectations. So I think there's a lot of firms that are interested in, you know, exploring different avenues and ways to get onto Oasis. So
yeah, we've seen a flurry of reorganization, mergers, novation requests, both small and large, to be quite frankly. There's a lot of activity going on in the professional services marketplace. We're treating each of those on a case-by-case basis, making sure that the quality of the Oasis Prime industry partner family stays high.
Okay. Now, this was kind of touched on before, but we've seen a few rather large task orders come through this bad boy. The first one, $950 million. And I don't think I'd ever seen a task order quite that big before. So
there have been some large task orders under the Alliant contracts, but it's basically, we designed Oasis for complicated requirements, for these larger task order requirements. You know, prior to Oasis, their options would have been going full and open competition. And that process from something that large usually requires 18 to 24 months. Using a streamlined vehicle like Oasis, that process, that was awarded by FedSim, by the way, GSA's FedSim, I think that process took them a total of about 6 to 7 months. So the advantages to the federal government, in terms of speed and efficiency. You know, as a humble civil servant, we get beat up on a lot about being inefficient and wasteful. But when agencies are
only
looking
from Congress,
well, there's some other.
This is AmTower off center. We don't care about them.
But no, in all seriousness, you know, I think OASIS, the way it was designed, the way it operates, the flexibilities and control that we provide our client base have been a big selling point for the contracts. I think the ability to handle these larger, more complicated requirements under a contract like OASIS, having the leverage of the entire program office behind you is a tremendous selling point for our clients.
You know, and to go back to an earlier point, it avoids the necessity for those agency-specific vehicles.
That is absolutely correct, saving them, you know, literally years and years of effort and a whole lot of taxpayer money.
Okay. So last questions for both of you. We're going to start with Emma. What's your favorite thing about this contract? What are the best features as far as you being a small woman-owned business?
Well, I think it's great because they can. They recently incorporated the new policy where women-owned small businesses can receive sole source set-aside contracts, mm-hmm. And that was incorporated into OASIS on July 1st. So that was a good feature. As a woman-owned small business, we can use it for woman-owned small business socioeconomic category set-asides. and I think from my perspective, there's been such a heavy usage of OASIS, but it's also been, I think, very successful. So I think clients and agencies are seeing that they're using OASIS, and it's actually been a very successful vehicle for them. So I'm very proud to be part of it. We're honored to be on it. As I mentioned previously, it was very competitive, and we were blessed and honored to be, you know, able to compete on that and to be lucky enough to receive an award. So we're very thankful for that. And I think that, you know, just overall, the success of OASIS is really, you know, a result of, I think, the good design, the GSA program office, and the way they architected the vehicle. I think it's going to be dependent on how well us vendors perform. And I think so far, Todd, so good, right?
So far, so good. We've had great feedback on performance thus far.
And I think, you know, lastly, it's dependent on, you know, how well the agencies like using it. And I think so far, it seems like it's been very easy to use, streamlined, cost savings, eliminates the need to stand up duplicate IDIQs or redundant BPAs. I know before OASIS, I think we as a small business had over 15 BPAs and IDIQs that we had to compete for each time, some of which never got used.
Yep.
It wouldn't be unusual for us to spend months, and I mean months, competing for a BPA or an IDIQ, only to have it be canceled post proposals being submitted or for it to be protested indefinitely. So, you know, for us, being able to count on having a contract vehicle that can be leveraged for complex requirements across multiple agencies and that has a good reputation, that's easy to use, and that's been well marketed, I think it's the total package.
There you go. Todd, best features and final advice for our listeners.
Well, OASIS started on a giant whiteboard with myself and Tommy Thomas and Valerie Bendel sequestering ourselves in a room trying to build a better mousetrap. And what we found with our experience through the GWAC, GSA's GWAC program, and our experience with IDIQ contracts is that clients' main concern when they use a contract they didn't create themselves is that they're going to lose control over the contracting process. And so one of our main design objectives with OASIS was to ensure we created as much flexibility and control at the task order level as humanly possible, given all of our collective contracting experience. And I think as clients use OASIS more, what they are discovering is that the flexibility and control that they have alleviates a lot of those fears in using a different agency contract. So I think that kind of flexibility and control combined with the amount of support that we provide, we do an awful lot of free training, both on the Delegation of Procurement Authority overview training as well as FAR 16 specific source selection techniques. We answer a truckload of questions, and myself and my senior contracting staff are at the front line of client support That's kind of unusual for a lot of contracting programs. Most of the time, your senior contract folks will make the main awards, and then you have marketing reps that'll help support the contract during its life. When you deal with OASIS, you're dealing with the OASIS contracting staff. Provide an awful lot of support, answering questions, helping people develop solicitations specific to their individual requirements. So I think the level of support, the amount of flexibility, and the utter control the contracting officers have at the task order level have been a tremendous selling point that really resonates with a lot of our clients.
Cool. Both, thank you very much.
Thank
Emma
you
Sopko,
very much.
Potomac Wave, Todd Richards, OASIS, greatly appreciated. You can find the OASIS information, by the way, at gsa.gov/OASIS. Pretty easy. So not bad. This is not my day job. I advise companies on all aspects of marketing to the government, especially developing the subject matter expert platform and the use of social media, especially LinkedIn. You can find me on LinkedIn or at federaldirect.net. And thank you very much for listening to AmTower Off-Center.
You've been listening to AmTower Off-Center, sponsored by General Dynamics Information Technology. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. AmTower Off-Center, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.